Go on to paper E, which is GDPR and data protection. And as you may know, Appendix A actually is before the report and not after. A machine error, I understand.
It is.
Before we start, I just want to make one very brief comment. And, well, not brief. A year ago from today, I stopped full-time employment with the company. The company wasn't very big, it's only about 14 individuals, but it's in a niche market and reasonably profitable. But they knew all about GDPR, and I said only 14 employees. They knew about GDPR, and they were anxious to make sure it was operational when it should have been in May 2018. And they employed other people to do it. So when this first report came to me, to this committee in July, and showed that we were not compliant with GDPR regulations, I was astounded. Hence, I asked you to come back and tell us where you are. The second thing is, it doesn't look like it's going to be done to sometime next year, so potentially 2 years beyond the date when you should have had it done. And that the council's still at risk from whoever the body is who looks after this, and I can't remember who they are. And I believe it's a 4% fine on your overall turnover if you can, and you're leaving yourself open to some private legal cases again if someone gets really annoyed with the information you've got. So, although it was judged high risk, it's very high risk. And I think what we want to know is, you are going to be compliant at least by sometime next year, and how are you going to do it? End of statement.
Thank you, Chair.
But it wasn't the crucifixion, I said, just the grilling.
Thank you. This report provides an update as to the key activities that have been undertaken since the last report back in May. Perhaps one of the most key acquisitions that we've undertaken is that we've now employed a data protection advisor, so we provide some additional capacity to undertake this work that wasn't there before. I'm joined here today by our new colleague, Dave Newman, who's come in to assist the Liberalist Action Plan. I think one of the reflections we've made in the last report and this report is that we had devolved responsibility down to service managers with some corporate guidance, but with so many devolved responsibilities, service managers were struggling to actually then complete the required actions that they were told to complete. So what we sought to do is bring in that additional capacity to handhold, support, do whatever we can to make sure that that's delivered. The report itself outlines the progress made, but even since the date of the publication report, we've carried on, and by way of updates to the three key risks, which is the information asset registers, we've now pre-populated 20 of the information asset registers out of 42, because the council already held information asset registers, it was just that they needed updating. There are 22 that we'll need completed from scratch for some of the other service areas. So these include services that perhaps don't process as much personal data. We have some key risk services, such as children's and adults who process perhaps our most highly sensitive data, and they will be held asset registers. In terms of the contracts, an analysis has shown that there are potentially 60 contracts in scope that require amendment, although that is a maximum figure. They are now being analysed to ensure that they do contain processing clauses that would require an amendment, and on a risk-based approach, that they do require an amendment. And risk-based approaches that are not due to expire in the next week or so, because we probably wouldn't issue updated clauses if they were. So we're looking at no larger than 25,000 plus contracts. For those contracts that are under 25,000, we've prepared initial template letters to send out to those contractors. They've been uploaded to the intranet and now writing to all the service managers, the 42 service managers, and we'll help them through that, ensuring that those are issued accordingly. The ICT risk. There's another meeting tomorrow, but in essence, one of their key risks was the identification of the systems register. That is going to be now incorporated into our overall information asset register. The DPIAs have been addressed. We're using the contracts procurement team and the org intel office of adults as the gatekeeping exercise to ensure that they're undertaken together with CIU. The oversight, the term of reference to the internal information governance group has been amended. We continue to make sure that that doesn't need further population, and we're also producing a monthly report in addition to the quarterly meetings, so that the entire group is aware of where we are for action plans and they can provide further scrutiny. Core documentation, the core data protection policies have been reviewed and updated. We still have some other related ICT policies that require a review as well, and they continue to be part of the work we're supporting. We have an overall plan that appears before the report that we're working towards, and the ROPA has been reviewed, and again, we are going to incorporate our ROPA records of processing activity within the information asset register, but we do hold a separate one if asked for now. Chairman, these are key risks that we are devoting some additional resources to. There is no statutory duty to provide an information asset register. There's a statutory duty to produce a records of personal activity which we hold. It assists the duty to have core documentation to prove, to demonstrate the compliant GDPR, to have complete data mapping exercise and information asset registers, and those are being provided. But from my point of view, the core risk, the most significant risk of data protection fines is from breaches. And that is when you misprocess information, you lose it, you send it to the wrong person, you destroy it. We as an organisation, because we process a significant amount of personal data, are always going to be at risk of a breach to the ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office. But although this is a new regime, we've had data protection since 1998, almost without exception, every fine that's ever been issued is for a breach. And except for one example, every fine that's been issued was for a breach of the technical and organisational measures in terms of lack of security sending to the wrong person. So we are aware this is a significant piece of work we need to do to have the belt and braces for GDPR compliance. The council already has a core programme of training activities, the ICT technical measures in place. There was a significant amount of work that was undertaken prior to GDPR to ensure we minimised to the lowest possible level the chance of us breaching GDPR. This is an additional activity to bolster our GDPR compliance. Chairman, Dave joined today, and I too am more than happy to take any questions from the committee.
Anyone have any questions? Councillor Peace is an expert.
Thank you. See, you slipped through a number of issues for me personally, in that I'm a bit gobsmacked that the council don't have any information as it raises anyone. Ignoring GDPR, it's good governance and it's good cybersecurity, which is my business. And to not have an information asset register means that you're not able to then properly assess risk. So I'm a bit unnerved that we don't actually have a significant information asset register in the first place.
Go on, Justin.
Chairman, thank you. We did hold information asset registers. We break them down into services or directorates. We held information asset register for adult social care, for children's, We have taken the ones that we hold to pre-populate to assist those managers. We held 20. Now there are 22 services that didn't hold specific information asset registers for their own service. They may have been part of a wider directorate of information asset register, but they didn't hold specific ones. So that would include some of the services you might expect to be high risk in terms of GDPR. So it's not we didn't hold information asset registers, it's just they required updating.
But do we hold one for ICT generally and infrastructure?
ICT certainly did, because it was always required for our PCA compliance. So ICT are subject to the compliance, which enables us to access certain systems, security decisions, etc. They have every policy that you would require to get that national certificate, including we have to provide information asset registers. Indeed, from recollection, the reason we have information asset registers was as a result of ICT PCM compliance back in 2009-10. The issue was, and then I'm happy to refer to Grant's audit, the issue was they required further update and additional fields to be inserted, but otherwise were fully asset registered compliant, so they identified the asset owners, they identified the assets themselves. What we didn't have was when we devolved all that responsibility down to service managers to continually update those and review those weren't being done continually. Some services did, not all. What we're doing now is bringing in that capacity to try and make sure they are all up to date.
Yeah, go ahead. As many as you like.
Okay, so, and then the focus in what you're saying is very much around breach, but actually, your colleague will also know that breach is much wider than just a leak of information. It's also a failure of systems, and it's the failure of accessibility to the system, so us not being able to obtain or get access to that data when we need it. So it's a breach of confidentiality, it's a breach of integrity, and it's a breach of availability. That is the definition of breach. My concern is here, is how resilient is the ICT system? Because I know from personal experience, it's not been great in the past. How resilient are we going forward to make sure that we don't suffer the wider definition of breach?
Are you going to answer this, Justin, or what?
Yeah, Chair, that's probably straying into the strategic manager of ICT scenario. I probably feel quite uncomfortable about providing a comprehensive reply to that. It is a very valid point, but I think there is a very valid answer back to that in terms of the systems and robustness and the business continuity plans put in place and backups, etc. But I wouldn't want to try and get a comprehensive reply to that.
Do you have another one? Oh, is that enough?
No, that's, I think we need to defer to ICT for an answer.
Claire?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm happy to provide you, and I can refer to the argument to give the detail. I didn't want to give inaccurate detail either. So I think I'd be happy if you're okay with it for us to provide the committee with an update from that on the ICT manager.
You're happy with that? So you understand what the questions were and what the answers you've got to give, Justin? Or would you like Gary just to perhaps put it in writing so you understand fully?
Chair, I'll probably only take a partial note because I was still trying to work out whether I might be able to answer it until we got to the end. Basically, it's that the council's systems and processes and technologies are in place to ensure we have business continuity and the systems we have integrity as
integrity and availability.
And availability.
Can I have you? It's very rare for us to have a member who has the specific technical expertise to ask.
Good though, isn't it?
And I wonder if perhaps we would all be better served if Gavin and Gary were able to have a conversation about this particular issue, which would enable Gary to put the serious questions that he has and for Gavin to answer them. And we should then find out what holes we have in the system and how serious they are. If Gary was happy to do that, I'm sure Gavin would be very prepared to have that discussion.
My only comment was, for this committee, questions been asked and we need to have a written answer back, not just the details of a conversation. The conversation will help and may help with the answer, but I think we need to see, because of the risk involved and everything else. I know it's, you know, there is the potential for a fine. Hang on, just one moment.
If Gary meets with Gavin, then we can also read it.
Go, go.
Probably a bit of an easy one. What, in view of the risks that we've got, and they've been classified as serious or critical, what obstacles do you see in achieving mitigation of those risks going forward? If any.
I think when you're trying to do a council-wide exercise such as this, you've got to muster enthusiasm from service managers to respond. What we're trying to do is make sure that we provide a clear, understandable and digestible message initially, making contact, providing as much support as possible. So if we can pre-populate something, we'll do so. We need to sit down and beforehand to explain what it is we're after, we'll do so. We need to be able to do that. But when you're trying to coordinate a council-wide response, there's 42 services you need to go for a response back. And it's make sure that those service managers can find that time, which is why the action plan is drafted ambitiously, but in reality, you are trying to coordinate the whole council. I think maybe that would be my number one risk.
And I'd just like to comment that GDPR, you mentioned to everyone, they don't want to know, and it's a pain in the bum to do, if I can put it that way, but don't put that down. Jen can actually arrange the meeting with Gavin, but we do need a report to come back here with some description. One question for Stuart. Obviously, there's no restriction on the amount of IT equipment and services they need to get to GDPR. Because of the potential risks.
Yes, I mean there is a restriction.
I just heard the yes. That was all.
There's a restriction on everything we do because what we obviously have to do is provide a budget to heads of service for them to address the priorities they see as the highest, and. If that requires more money than they've got, then we have to put that back in corporate priorities. And if there isn't sufficient and we decide that's high enough priority and needs more resource, we have to take it from somewhere else to deliver. So yes, there is a restriction in that sense.
So it's not an open-ended checkbook for these guys. Reg?
What about the budget that this committee's got for doing projects? Are they 10 grand? Up to 10,000? They used to that. You saw that. Let me shake it away. It's a legal call for work to be done extra work. That is some. How much is it? There is a sudden.
Chair, it's probably a question for the finance team, but I'm not aware of any budget that's associated with the sanctity for that purpose. It may have been in the past, but I'm not sure it's there.
My only comment will be that 10 grand is nothing for what you've got to do. Every bit of help. Do you found something, Jen?
There's no budget stated. There is something within the terms of reference about requesting for something to be done. But there's no budget stated within here.
Thanks. Right. Everyone's finished. So we've got the report to be noted. But you're going to arrange a meeting between Councillor Peace and Gavin.
Yes.
Whatever his name is.
To
discuss various questions raised by Councillor Peace, and that a written report will be returned to this committee. Is that it?
You'll need your proposal in a second.
Oh, yeah, I just wondered that.
Yeah, I've got that.
Yeah, you're happy with
I've
that?
I've got that.
Okay. I propose that. John seconds it. Vote for it. Thank you very much, Gary Peace.